The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 3rd chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and John's food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all of Judea were going out to John and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by John in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when John saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, John said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the tree. Every tree that therefore does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Every year around the first week of December, the Altar Guild brings out the blue fabrics, poinsettias start adorning the altar, and the old wreath is hung. What does it mean? It means it's Advent. A time of waiting, a time of watching, a time of looking, a time when we go from darkness into the light of Christ's birth. But if you walk outside the doors of this church, go out into the world, you would think that we're already in Christmas. Lights are on houses, trees are up and decorated in family rooms, Christmas carols are on the radio, Christmas specials are on television, shopping malls have the Christmas sales. Even us are attending our workplace and office Christmas parties. Many of us have already made our Christmas wish lists for family and friends, denoting those special things that we want. We might be Advent in here, but we are certainly Christmas out there. So why is this Advent thing that we cling to so important? Why not join the world? Sing the bubbly carols about angels and miracles and shepherds and stars. Why are we in this period of waiting, of watching, of moving from darkness to light? We are here because, well, yes, Advent is a time of waiting, a time of watching, a time of listening, a time of looking. Most importantly, Advent is a time of preparing. In Advent, we get the blue colors, we get the nice flowers, we get the wreath, but what we get every year most powerfully is this person called John the Baptist. Every year, John the Baptist breaks into our church life like a bull in a china shop. We're thinking angels, we're thinking shepherds, we're thinking peace on earth, goodwill to all humanity, and here comes John the Baptist. "You brood of vipers." The winnowing fork is in his hand, he's separating wheat from chaff, there's heaven, there's hell, there's trees being cut down, there's good fruit, there's no fruit. This is a very different message than we hear in the world. Advent is a time of preparedness. And when I say preparedness, I don't mean stocking up on more food in case we get a blizzard, there's no electricity. I don't mean going to Costco and buying a generator for your furnace in case the power goes out. I don't mean putting a few presents under the tree in case some unexpected guest comes. No, the kind of preparedness that John the Baptist is talking about, as we said in today's children's story, is right in here. John the Baptist is a strange guy. And every year, during these Sundays in December, I find myself scratching my head, wondering what to make of him. And 2,000 years ago, the world didn't know what to make of John the Baptist either. He lives an ascetic lifestyle. He seems to live on his own, or maybe with a few close followers in the wilderness. He wears a big, hairy garment made out of camel. He has a big leather belt fastened around his waist. He has big, unkempt hair, a dirty, messy beard, and he seems to live on locusts and honey. He's a strange guy. And furthermore, John the Baptist is not the kind of person to ever attend a Dale Carnegie course. John the Baptist could care less about making friends and influencing people. All John the Baptist cares about is fulfilling his calling as God's prophet. He's got a message, he has a purpose, he has a ministry. And that is to prepare people for the coming of Christ's ministry. To make straight the path, as the prophet Isaiah says. And what's his message? You're good, I'm good? No. John's message is, you're not good, I'm not good. John's message is, we're all in bondage to sin. This is a tough message. This is a message that says, we're not perfect. This is a message that says, we can't earn our own salvation. And it's a message that John the Baptist preaches to all. From the lowest of the low, the shepherds, the stable cleaners, the outcasts, to the well-respected and thought-of Pharisees and Sadducees that he called the brood of vipers, all the way to Herod and his illegitimate wife, Salome. And in fact, John the Baptist is so in line with God's word, is so true to his calling, that he's beheaded for it. Because he held Herod to account, and Herod's illegitimate wife to account. His head was put on a silver platter for that. Prophets are strange people. They're like bulls in a china shop. They have no church councils. They seem to have no real close friends. They suffer a lot. They are ridiculed a lot. They're exiled a lot. But they're honest. And they tell things the way it is. Whether it's Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Hosea, or John the Baptist, they've been given a message. And that message is the unvarnished truth. It could be a tough message. Tough message for me. Imagine a tough message for you. I'm not okay. You're not okay. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. Wow. So where's the good news? The good news is found in baptism. John baptizes with water. A baptism of repentance, John says. But someone who is more powerful than me, someone who I am not fit to carry his sandal, is coming to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Sounds good. That's the baptism we have. We've had the baptism of the Spirit and fire. We are people of Jesus. But there's a word of caution and a word of warning there. Sometimes we'll become complacent. As a pastor, I've had parents phone me and say, Pastor, Grandma and Grandpa are coming here from pick a place. Nova Scotia, Alberta, BC, the Yukon, California. Grandma and Grandpa are coming here. Can we get our child done? That somehow this baptism thing, parents, godparents, and family members, a pastor, that hey, we just get this done. This is like a get into heaven free card. Once it's complete, it's complete, it's done, forget about it. Baptized, you're saved, go on your way, live a happy life. Everything's all right. That is not our understanding of baptism. Our understanding of baptism is that daily, We are washed and forgiven by God. That daily we return to our baptisms. We return in the repentance. We return with contrite hearts. We turn as John calls us to. We stand before the cross and we offer ourselves to God. And as Paul writes, we are clothed with Christ. We are forgiven. We are regenerated. We are renewed. We are sanctified is a fancy term. This isn't something that we get done. This isn't a one-time thing that we go on our way. This is not a get-out-of-jail-free card for Monopoly. No, it's not that easy. This is a daily process. Because we're in bondage to sin. John the Baptist has it right. We cannot earn our salvation. We cannot free ourselves from the sinfulness of this world. We cannot free ourselves from the sinfulness that lives within us. Those dark areas of our life that turn us from God, that turn us from the needs of our neighbor, that turn us from our family and one another. We cannot free ourselves from that. That is part of the human condition. We need to turn to the cross, remember our baptisms, receive that forgiveness. It is not a one-time thing. The Pharisees became complacent. The Sadducees became complacent. Hey, we're good guys, we work in the temple, we've gone to religious schooling, we pray lots, we tithe, we try and keep the laws, things are good, people respect us. I'm a Pharisee. I'm a Sadducee. John stops them in their tracks. You brood of vipers, you think just because you're a Pharisee, just because you're a Sadducee, that you got it made, you think because you're baptized, that's all there is to it? Uh-uh. If God wants, He can raise up children of Abraham. He can raise up new Pharisees, new Sadducees, new chief priests out of these stones over here. Don't get complacent. Don't think you have it made. Be on guard. Keep watch. Keep looking. Prepare. Advent. That's where we are. John the Baptist's call from the wilderness is a call for us not to be complacent. To recognize that God is at work in our lives every day. Renewing us, forgiving us, equipping us. And you know why? Because sin is at work in our lives every day. Calling us from God, calling us from the needs of our neighbor, calling us from ministry to others. We cannot get complacent. That's a strong word of John the Baptist. And John the Baptist ends with an even stronger word. He presents this image of Christ and Christ's ministry. And this is not the Christ that we find later in Matthew in the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the poor. Blessed are the hungry. Blessed are those who are ridiculed. Blessed are the outcast. No. John the Baptist's version of Christ is a different Christ. This is a Christ that sits in judgment. This is a Christ that has the axe in the hand, cutting down the trees that don't bear fruit, sparing the ones that do bear fruit. This is a Christ on the threshing floor, separating wheat from chaff. This is an eschaton. This is a finality that has a heaven and has a hell. Heaven is coming into God. It's that wheat that gets brought into the heavenly granary. It's the tree that grows in the heavenly garden. Hell? That's being separated from God. That's the chaff that's cast aside. That's the tree that's cut down and not allowed to prosper in the garden. That's a tough word too. One we can learn from. In our own lives, we're called during this period of preparation to get on the threshing floors of our souls and to separate the wheat and the chaff in our own lives. What's the wheat in our lives? Hope, faith, love, service, stewardship. What's the chaff? You know, the part that covers the wheat up? The part that makes the wheat inedible? Fear, doubt, anxiety, stress, pain, bitterness, pettiness. What is the wheat and the chaff in our lives? What garbage do we hold on to? What stuff do we need to sift away? What's all that internal baggage that weighs us down? The doubt, the anger, the hostility, the things that make us walk in the dark instead of turning towards the light. What are those things? We're called to separate them. And then we take them to the cross and we let them die. We let them burn in the unquenchable fire. And what are we left with? The wheat. The gifts of God, the things of God, the power of God. The things that we've gotten in this baptism of the Spirit, the things we've gotten in the baptism of the fire, the things that God has grown within us, the things that call us to the light of God, the things that call us to the light of our neighbor, that is what we have left. Fruit, grain, whatever you want to call it. This is what we cultivate. This is what we're called to hold on to. And we let that old stuff die. That junk that keeps us up at night. The junk that tells us we can't do something. The junk that causes us worry and anxiety. The junk that causes our heart to turn inward and away from the needs of our family, our neighbor, our church, the world. We're called to lose that junk. To throw it away. And at that point, we are called to rise to newness of life, thankfully, with our Lord and Savior Christ. Amen.